You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week are Tina Amini.
Hi, everybody.
Sam Claiborne.
I am joined.
And Justin Davis.
Scoop.
We got a great show for you this week. We talk about the games that have been revealed to be included in the all-new PlayStation Plus when it launches next month. And that also inspired us to sort of come up with our own top 10 lists of our favorite PlayStation 4 games of all time. But first, I have an announcement I'd like to make. I'm actually on vacation this week.
What?
I took a week off to, you know, just to get some downtime before the big event season that's going to be starting next month, before things get really busy. I didn't go anywhere. I'm just having this little staycation. Saw nice. Doctor Strange 2 yesterday. Loved it. We were just talking about that.
I know where this is going.
I'm sorry?
I know where this is going.
Do you really? Do you think?
Yeah.
But something happened during my vacation this week that I had to come to GameScoop and let Scoop Nation know. Ladies and gentlemen, I, Damon Hatfield, beat Elden Ring.
What?
Congratulations.
Yay.
I did it.
Seriously, congratulations. How does it feel?
Oh, man. It felt great. I don't know what else there is.
Well, this is actual footage of Damon beating Elden
Ring. Like in a relief way?
This is not true.
Or like in a accomplished quite a bit way? I've heard both from fans.
I've accomplished quite a bit way.
Nice.
For sure. I totally agree with the 10 out of 10 IGN gave it. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It's like such, I have so many cool memories, I feel like I went on an adventure. So many cool moments happened during my time with Elden Ring. It was just, it's been well documented, the complete 180 that I did on this game. But man, it's 160 hours. I put into
Jesus Christ, that's so long. So it's like, too many.
And I was totally up front. I was cheesing any enemy I could in the game, but I couldn't cheese any of the late game bosses. I just either wasn't a method or not with like my specific build that I was using. So from the fire giant on, I had to beat them all legitimately. And some of them were so tough. The Godskin duo took me an entire week to beat just that one boss fight. That fight is absolute horseshit. It's two bosses you have to fight at the same time. They share the health bar, but when you defeat them both, their health bar isn't fully diminished. So they come back and you have to beat them again. It's like, it's probably the hardest boss fight I've ever fought in my life. But anyway,
so
I did it.
Damon, yeah. What's your advice for people that bounced off this game the first time? How should they take the first 10 hours? Like, what would you tell them to do?
I would say, utilize as many like internet resources as you can for like
you know, guides, use maps. I found a lot of success with the samurai class. You start out with a great sword. I think I used that beginning sword halfway through the entire
game. Wow, that's incredible.
Didn't you like respec or restart a new character or something like that?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then just you basically whatever class you choose. Maybe one of my small complaints of the game is that 90% of the loot you find in the game is not useful to you because of the build that you have. So like, there's just so many things, so many places to go that you just don't need to go. There'll be these minor dungeons that where after you beat the boss, your reward is like a great shield that you have no use for. So I would say look up stuff that's going to be specifically useful to your class and the way that you want to play the game. Find out, you can easily find out where those items are located, that sort of thing. Oh, and then there's all these great places to rune farm, even very early on in the game.
Mm-hmm. Was that Burger King King?
Yeah, I love those guys.
Terrible.
So what character class is the best, Damon, for those of us that might also be considering redoing their builds and their games?
I would recommend Samurai. But of course, this is my only really FromSoft game that I've ever spent any significant amount of time with. So like my whole experience now is just with Samurai. I started with Vagabond, I think the first time. I only played like for 10 hours and then I restarted the game as Samurai.
Okay.
That's what I would recommend. And I'd like to play
Oddfellow. Good sword sounds good.
Oh yeah, yeah. Great starting sword. And then with its special ability, you can one shot kill a lot of the early enemies. So it makes the early first hours much more.
That's great. Good tip.
Possible.
Probably easier to grind up too.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah
and true. I even want to play. I beat it earlier this week and I haven't played it since, but I do want to play it some more. There's new game plus and all that stuff. Cause I'd like to try it with like a spell caster build, like some sort of a magic user build. See just how the game plays like that.
Oh, that's the real cheese. I mean, if you summon helpers and then just punt enemies with magic, like that's the way that I played the game before I bounced off it. And it didn't feel hard, and not because I'm super skilled, but just because, you know, I don't know, like I don't feel like you're engaging with the game like the way that it's like intended to be played, which is fine because you're still getting to enjoy this beautiful world and so on and so forth. But like, yeah, that's what I would recommend if someone's really looking for sort of like an easy mode. Mm.
I didn't feel like it was so easy because I'm also playing Astrologer, which is a magic-y based class. And,
yeah, that was mine.
You just have such limited usage of those starting abilities, those starting spells.
You mean just because of your...
Because you have like very limited mana. What do they call it in Elden Ring?
Yeah,
I know what you mean. I'm blanking on it too. The blue bar. The blue bar.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to level up and put points into mind, I think is what they call it. Anyway... Elden Ring is an amazing game. I'm glad I stuck with it. Now it's one of my favorite games of all time. A lot of people compare it to Breath of the Wild. I love them both. I love both Elden Ring and Breath of the Wild. They're different. Breath of the Wild is a much more chill game. Elden Ring has no chill whatsoever.
No.
Do you like it better than Mega Man 2?
What's up?
Do you like it better than Mega Man 2?
Wow, that's tough. I'd have to spend a few weeks thinking about that.
Okay.
Meditate on this. I will. Let's move on to the news of the week. Big news this week. Sony revealed a lot of the games are going to be included in all new PlayStation Plus in the extra and premium tiers. Apparently, these aren't all the games, but they did reveal quite a big list. 56 PS4 and PS5 titles confirmed for the extra tier, and then an additional 60 classic catalog games for the premium tiers. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to take a look at this, but I think the PS4 and PS5 games that are included in the extra tier are looking pretty good. That's like really, really strong list of games. And I think if anyone were jumping into the PlayStation ecosystem, not having played these games, you could subscribe to the PlayStation Plus extra tier, and I think you're good to go.
They make it so confusing. Like, I know. Like, and they all, it's just a weird, I guess I don't want to like, it's a really, really great announcement that's really exciting. But me as a video game fan and player, I read IGN's news story. I read the announcement. I'm like, this is confusing. Like, I need to see it like on a grid, like laid out in front of me, I think, instead of just like a bulleted list of text.
Yeah.
And the tiers are confusing.
I we had ran these on the site this week. We have this new feature playlist, and we did these lists of these games. And then what's cool is you can sort them by review score when you do that. And so we have like I'm looking at them right now. We have a list of the premium tier classic games, and then a list of the premium games. And I just sorted them by like, you know, best to worst. And like, it's really cool to see it that way, because you see like there's five games that got a 10 in the premium tier list, you know, which is awesome. That's Red Dead 2, Last of Us Part 2, Celeste, Last of Us Part 1, and God of War. Like, that's amazing, right? And then it goes to 9.7s from there.
That's a great use of playlist, by the way. That's exactly, I didn't even realize I was setting you up that way, because that's exactly what I was describing.
Yeah,
I'm still checking
to you guys, but we ran them like in a little, you know, homepage thing this week. We're just like compared to, and then we did the Xbox and Switch ones too. So those are out there now. They're really fun to compare that way.
I just wanted to clarify: The Last of Us 2 is actually not included, but it's The Last of Us Remastered and Left Behind.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Last of Us. Okay. But still,
got it.
It's a really great. It's a great list of games. Some notable ones for me with Bloodborne is in there, which actually. Maybe I should try Bloodborne.
Yeah, right.
Now that I'm an expert at FromSoft games, Dead Cells is in there. Death Stranding, both Tina and Sam are big fans of that one. And then the Demon's Souls remake for PS5, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut is in there. God of War 2018, both Gravity Rush 1 and 2. Hollow Knight, which Sam, did you ever finish that?
I got really far in Hollow Knight, and now it's not like riding a bicycle, so I'm totally screwed. I love it. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do, and I played it for hours and hours and hours, and I was like, I have to play something for work, and then I was just like, I can't play this game anymore.
The games that most, like, obviously, like, Ghost of Tsushima, like, it's awesome that you can play that. You can play Shadow of the Colossus, Red Dead 2. Like, those games deserve to be the headlining games, but for me personally, I already own those games and I've already played those games. And like the ones that caught my eye were like literally just the other day, I was like, I have an urge to play Patapon. Like, I want to play Patapon. Mm-hmm. And like, you can't, like, I don't have, you know, I don't have the system anymore. And like those sorts of like good, but deeper cut, like Loco Roco and Patapon were the two that I was like, yeah, let's go.
It's really cool that those are included.
Yeah.
Those are in the premium tier, not just the extra tier, which I'm summarizing.
Oh, sorry. No,
that's why it's confusing.
Yeah, it really is.
But some of the other big ones in the extra tier, Horizon Zero Dawn, both Infamous Second Son and First Light, Guardians of the Galaxy, brand new awesome game, Spider-Man and Miles Morales, Mortal Kombat 11, which I recommend just playing the single player story mode. It's great. Red Dead Redemption 2, Returnal, Shadow of the Colossus, Last of Us Remastered, and Left Behind. And then Uncharted 4 and the Nathan Drake collection. And that's not even all. That's just like a handful that stood out to me. So like, it's a really, really strong list of games. But like Justin said, any hardcore PlayStation fan has probably played most of those, right?
On the less AAA scale, I must say Outer Wilds and The Artful Escape. Incredible experiences too.
I know Outer Wilds, but I don't know much about Artful Escape.
It's very narrative driven, so it won't be everybody's cup of tea, but it's gorgeous and there's a lot of music involved. It's a little bit like Guitar Hero with a storyline behind it, to be incredibly reductive, of course. For the people who have played it, they would, I'm sure, not explain it that way. But for people who haven't, that's your entry point. Oh, look at that.
Nice.
Thanks, Tayo. Oh.
Yeah, there's a pretty good integration of like this person's a guitar player and related to like a Bob Dylan in the universe and, you know, what is his role in the world? It's interesting.
Yeah, it's very much like a kind of identity, self-discovery kind of story, you know, his connection to music, and you can kind of pave your own path in some ways, but there's some interesting characters and some interesting voice actors, actually, some celeb names behind some of those voice actors. It's a good experience. It's short. Everybody should play it just by virtue of that.
So the extra tier is the game lineup is good enough to be like a no brainer to me if there's probably even, you know, a handful of games in there that you'd like to play. But the premium tier is a different story. I think that the lineup of classic games, PS1 through PS3 and then PSP, it's a little underwhelming.
Oh, I think it's so cool. I mean, yeah, you know.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, your point of like, no, you can't compare like Ape Escape to like God of War, you know, or like Ghost of Tsushima. But like, again, just speaking for me personally, like I've been feeling really nostalgic for that like PS1 era and like just the number of games that like I haven't thought about the game Intelligent Cube in like a decade, right? But like it was on my mind recently, and then to see that it's in this subscription service along with like Ark the Lad and Mr. Driller and like Jack and Daxter, and you know, it's a lineup of games that was put together by somebody that like has a good sense of that era. And like it's not it is missing, you know there's no Crash Bandicoot, like it's missing a lot of stuff, but it has some like deep cuts that I'm like, yeah, I totally want to play Hot Shots Golf again. Like it's got good.
Hot Shots Golf is a good one. Yeah. You mentioned Intelligent Cube, which is cool because I think that's a game that everyone played on a demo disc. No one actually owned.
It's got like Tekken 2. Like, I don't know. Like, no, it's not like if you were to list like must have PS1 games, it's all these games that sort of orbit around the periphery of like, it's hidden gems is what I would say.
Yeah.
It's hidden gems, and BioShock and Borderlands.
Those are in there because they're like remastered. There was a strange like caveat as to why those are included in the classic games.
You want
to
hear what the top games are by review score in that package? It's Jack 3, Jack 2, which I don't recommend, honestly. I know people like those games. Ape Escape, Siphon Filter, and Jack and Daxter. And then after that, it goes down to Ape Escape 2 and Dark Cloud and a few other things. But yeah. I also have the worst games in both collections I just sorted by. So we have the worst classic games are Jumping Flash, which was in the PlayStation Mini. Remember that?
That's a
bunny hopping game.
It's either a PS1 launch game or a very early game.
Yep. And then we have Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Is it Re-Reckoning?
Yeah, the Re-Reckoning.
The new one, right? Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's a 6. And then Tekken 2 and Super Stardust HD seem to be the lowest rated ones in the 6s.
Oh, man. Still, Super Stardust HD is Housemarque.
6.5, like, though.
I wonder.
Man, that's okay.
Not people like that game.
Yeah. And then on the overall other, you know, not retro game list, we have a Naruto game at 5.5, Knack at 5.9, Destruction All-Stars. Remember that one? At 6.
Oh.
And then I don't remember this, Fantavision at 6.5.
That was a PS2 launch game. That's the fireworks game.
Oh, that's, we were just talking about that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know.
So now, yeah, I don't know. Tina, what do you make of the premium tier list classic games?
I mean, it seems like shorter than I had anticipated, but I mean, they also said specifically that this wasn't the full list, right? So we're anticipating more to come
that's,
in.
That's what's yeah. so yeah. like, again, I don't want to be like, I'm actually, I like Sony's announcement. And so I already like, I'm going to get criticized for coming off as too negative, but like they announced like, it's going to be 600 games and they announced like 150 of them. And I'm like, why? like what? You have these complicated tiers. You know, you're only showing us a fourth of the games. Like, it's just, I don't agree with the way that this is rolling out.
I don't agree.
I think some of them are funny too. Like, is BioShock and Borderlands under that list?
Yeah, they're in the classic games.
Yeah, are they?
Because it's the BioShock collection.
Yeah,
the BioShock collection. It's the BioShock collection, which includes games from that from like the PS3 generation.
Yeah.
And same thing.
I guess I didn't consider them classic in that sense, like timeline wise.
I know.
Like classic in quality, I'll say. if we're doing that definition. Yeah.
It's tough to stack it up next to Game Pass, isn't it? Like the higher tiers are significantly more expensive. What are they, almost twice as expensive? You know, you don't get the day and date new first party releases, but the back library is arguably bigger and stronger, I would say. So it's like, okay, so it's more money and you get better older games, but not as many newer games. And it's like, it's tough. Like, I don't feel like I can put them, it's not like a one-to-one comparison.
And neither is the Switch set, right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Yeah, you get a Worms in here. Are those games fun?
Yes.
There's so many of them.
Yeah. They're great.
Some of them are and some of them aren't. I don't know. I can't keep them straight.
Yeah, Worms.
I can't even remember. Like Worms Armageddon, I played quite a bit. But I played some more classic ones than that too.
I can't vouch.
There are so many.
The Worms World Party box art looks vaguely racist. So I'm not sure about this.
There's some other deep cuts that I think are fantastic. The Gravity Rush series is really good. And Gravity Rush 2, I love it. I could play it like all the time. It's an amazing, like fun, playable game. And then people love Tearaway, and I never got to play that. I'm really excited to check that out.
Yeah, that's great.
Tearaway is cute.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good. I'm really excited about a lot of these retro games, as I said. But like, you know, as I look at this list more, it's like Dark Cloud 2. It's like that game rules. Like I'm pumped.
I don't know, man. There's just so many missing. There's no Symphony of the Night. There's no Metal Gear Solid. There's no Tomb Raider. There's no Resident Evil. No Resident Evil at all. I mean, Legacy of Kain. There's just so many of those great PS1 games are just not on here.
What is the same with what's Infamous First Light?
It was it was an expansion to Second Son.
Okay. Was it with a standalone DLC? I think, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I'm really glad Tokyo Jungle is on the general list.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Like, that's what a random one. Game a lot of people forget about since we haven't seen one in some time. But it's so goofy and different and cool.
Yeah, but there are so many cool PlayStation Network games from the PS3 era that are actually exclusive to the platform that I can't imagine why they wouldn't put them on there. Critter Crunch Horde was a game where you're a dragon, you're hoarding your gold. That was actually a really cool game.
I don't remember that.
The Last Guy, Pain, Shatter, Soldner X2. These are all PlayStation Network exclusive games.
Yeah, The Last Guy.
I really like Pain.
Yeah, Pain was fun.
I like Pain, and I like The Last Guy. I have both those games on my PS3.
Yeah. Missing from the list as of right now. Anyway, I think the extra tier looks really, really good, really solid. But the classic tier, I don't know. It's working for Justin, not really working for me.
It is expensive. Like, it's working for me in the sense that I'm like, you know, it makes me smile when I see the game list. But it's just, it's a lot of money. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway, the all-new PlayStation Plus launches next month. Speaking of PlayStation games, let's check in with listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Well, hi.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Christian did. Christian says, since last-gen consoles are slowly fading away, would the Scoop panel like to decide together a top 10 games they enjoyed on Xbox One and PlayStation 4? Maybe we leave off newer games that launched on new and old-gen recently. Mm-hmm. Christian, the truth is I could probably count the number of games I played on Xbox One on one hand. I think I played Metal Gear Solid 5, probably Rise of the Tomb Raider, and then probably some Witcher 3. I think that was it.
Yeah. I wonder if you were to like divide the hours played by like the cost of the console, it's like the Xbox One has got to be like by most.
Really,
it's
expensive.
Like, yeah.
That's a good point. But for PS4, I actually did put together a little list of my own. Did anyone else do their homework?
Yeah, I did, but you just named all my games.
There were a lot in the PS Plus package, too. That's a lot of redundancies.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's perfect, then. Okay, Tina, what's yours?
I mean, it's a huge smattering. The stuff that has an overlap is like Red Dead 2, for instance, and Control made it on there. I don't know if that's considered like one of the more recent crossover ones, like Jedi Fallen Order, also kind of recent crossover.
I'll allow it.
Right? What else? And then some obvious ones that Scoop has heard me talk about quite a bit, like Inside. I have Dishonored 2 on here.
I did play Inside on Xbox One.
There you go. Dishonored 2.
Mm-hmm. What's the other game that the Inside developers made?
Limbo.
Limbo?
Limbo, yes.
No, that was the first one. Inside was the follow-up. Yakuza Like a Dragon. Outer Wilds is another repeated one. I don't know if Master Chief Collection counts, but some of those games. Did I already say Dishonored 2? The Last of Us? Spider-Man? God of War?
You're getting me panicky. I thought we were supposed to make a PS4 list.
That's what I did.
Oh.
I just made an overall like last-gen list.
Got it.
But most of those are PS4.
That's what
games.
I thought the homework assignment was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine.
I don't know.
Top 10 last.
You guys go.
Yes. It's a great list.
Okay, Sam.
You already said all mine. I mean, I really only care about Metal Gear Solid 5, Witcher 3, Red Dead 2. I think Metal Gear Solid 5 is a game that like is now being a little bit looked over or forgotten about, or even has had people turn on it a little bit. And I think that experience was so much fun. And I loved playing it.
I love Metal Gear Solid 5.
It's the only Metal Gear I like, really. I like Peace Walker, too.
What about Metal Gear Acid?
I've never played that. What is that? Is that bonus levels?
No, I have both of them on the PSP.
Yeah, the PSP. Is it it's like turn-based strategy?
They're like card games. It's crazy.
Card games.
It's like a tactical card game. They're insane.
That's funny.
Cool. This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply. All right, Justin, what's your list?
I mean, there's two real standouts from last gen, and that's God of War and that's The Witness. And not only are they my favorite games from last gen, but they're among, like, I haven't done like an audit of like what are Justin's favorite games of all time, but they would definitely be high up on that list. You know, and when I'm reflecting on last gen, like, you know, I liked Persona 5, but I didn't finish it. I liked Metal Gear 5, but I didn't finish it. So it's like, these are games that I have fond memories of. The Witcher is the same, but like, you know, did I like them as much as I thought I did? Like, you know, when a game really sinks its claws into me, like The Witness, that was all I did and all I thought about until that game was finished. And I'm still thinking about it years later. And, you know, that's not to take anything away from these other big AAA games that made a mark on last gen, but none of them, I feel like, work their way into my personal video game canon like God of War or The Witness did.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, even though I'm going last, I think I have several on here that still haven't been mentioned yet. This is my top 10 PS4 games. Coming in at number 10, Slay the Spire.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic game. The only reason it's still down so low on my list is I'm actually not super crazy about the art style, as you can see right here.
Ah, yeah.
But a game that I am super crazy about the art style coming in at number 9 is Darkest Dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And I should clarify, these are only games that were released during that generation. So like Spelunky, I played to death on my PS4, but I don't consider it.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, yeah. See, I don't like, I understand that both those games came out in the last gen timeframe, but I consider them both, like I played them both on Steam, you know, so they're sure. They're not like in my consideration set when we're talking about last gen, which is maybe unfair.
Yep, totally get that. This is just where I played these on my PS4. Coming in at number 7, maybe a little bit controversial, Far Cry 5. I think that's, of all the Far Cries, I think it's been my favorite one, actually, even though most fans probably wouldn't say that's their favorite one. But
more than Far Cry 3 plus like, Blood Dragon, huh?
More than Far... Yes. Blood Dragon is a little bit overrated. Much like Elden Ring, and I created all these great memories playing through that game. I also have great memories when I think back of just like crazy fun stuff happening. Coming in at number 6, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Coming in at number 5, I'm going to say Resident Evil 7. Although I probably like Village more, but I played Village on my PlayStation 5. Doesn't count.
Yeah.
Coming in at number five, fittingly, is Disgaea 5. The Disgaea series is almost 20 years old now, and I think all the entries are very similar, high quality. Each new one just sort of like builds on the previous one and adds a few new features. And so I think Disgaea 5 is probably the best the series ever was. Disgaea 6, most fans think, was a misstep. Coming in number four, this is cream of the crop for me. Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Oh yeah, that game is really good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Coming at number three, I'm going to say this was a little bit tough for me to figure out where everything would go, but I'm going to go God of War 2018, which would leave number two, Ghost of Tsushima, which I even surprised myself. I gave my number one favorite PlayStation 4 game to Dead Cells.
Wow.
Because it's endlessly replayable. You know, it's so fun. It feels so good to play. It has probably the best pixel art I've ever seen. I love it.
Nice.
Great, 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 great game. And it's included in the extra tier of all new PlayStation Plus. Man, Last Generation was pretty good, guys.
It was.
Yeah. It's tough for me to, like, you know, Red Dead 2 came out, I can't believe this, it was 4 years ago in 2018. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, like, there's not been a next or current gen version announced, a PS5 or Xbox Series X version announced, but you have to imagine one's incoming. And if someone were kind of like thinking about playing that game, it's like I'd advise someone to wait at this point, right? I would.
Wait for what?
I'd rather play it at 60 frames per second. Like, that's kind of where my head is at. It's like, you know, I have an interest in replaying GTA 5 again, but it's like, you know, okay, that's coming to new consoles as well. Like, The Last of Us is being rumored to be remade a second time. I'm just sort of standing by, like, the PS4 and Xbox One have been retired. So any games like that, you know, I don't know. I just want to wait to play them again until I can play them with slightly better visual fidelity.
Sure. That reminds me, going back to the premium tier of all new PlayStation Plus, it includes Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare.
Oh, I love that game.
Oh, wait, which is awesome, but it doesn't include the original Red Dead Redemption, the expansion. So it's strange. But Undead Nightmare is awesome, would be awesome to revisit.
But maybe they're just calling, like, maybe Undead Nightmare, maybe Red Dead 1 is in the umbrella of, like, Undead Nightmare, or did they clarify that, like, no, it's just the DLC? Like, how would that even be possible?
Well, it was standalone. So.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just fun to think of it as standalone because it's, like, it's the entire map. It's every weapon in the game. It's like all that stuff, just plus a different storyline. It's really cool. Yeah.
Okay, this is Bruce. Bruce says, I have a question specifically for Sam. Are there any video game pinball games you recommend? A while ago, I discovered Demon's Tilt and absolutely loved it. Now that I put over 100 hours into it, I've been searching for something new. Haven't had much luck. Any help would be appreciated. Before Sam jumps into this, I have to say, Bruce, the bad news is that Demon's Tilt is probably the best one. You're probably not going to find something, a better video pinball game than Demon's Tilt. But I would like to hear what Sam has to say.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, there's some weird ones. Yoko's Island Express is a fantastic pinball-inspired Metroidvania. It's adorable, but it's also really challenging and fun and cool. And it just has everything about that game is fantastic. I love it. But let me start by saying I think video pinball is terrible, and I think nobody's gotten it right. And so the more far out and wacky things get, I think the better it is. So, like, Metroid Prime pinball is really fun because it's just, like, not really like anything else and just stuff like that. So, but I'm not going to recommend any of that stuff because I still think with video pinball having issues, and I've played tons of Zen pinball. And, you know, all those various packages that come out around movies and comics and stuff like that. I don't like them. I don't have a feel for them in the same way I have for pinball, because I think pinball is a social activity and should be enjoyed with friends and, you know, maybe with some competition in there and stuff like that. So it's just hard to get that across with video. And then also I just think the physics are just way off. It's way too easy. So let me say then, the best pinball machines ever designed were designed, you know, out of metal and wood, and you can play those virtually. And those are great. Because they teach you how to play those games, and they teach you about pinball, and they teach you the rules of pinball and like what it's all about. The best version of those ever was a platform called Pinball Arcade that is now defunct. And it had games from Bally, Midway, and Stern, and Gottlieb, and like a huge amount of classic stuff. And they kind of lost their licenses for a bunch of cool stuff, and it's kind of gone now. So what happened was Zen bought the licenses to Bally Midway, or Bally Williams, I should say. I tend to say Bally Midway because that was the name of the arcade company. But Williams and Bally made the best games in the 90s. So you can play about 20 games on their newest Pinball FX platform. And those include, like, let me look them up. This is weird. This is coming up twice because I intentionally made a list of the best pinball machines in our Playlist platform that you can look up. I didn't expect to bring up the other one. But those are featured. If you go to IGN.com and go to playlist, I made a playlist of pinball machines. If you just click a playlist at the top of the thing. But anyway, the best Williams games for Zen Pinball are like Whitewater is fantastic. I believe they have like the really classic stuff like Medieval Madness, Monster Bash, Attack from Mars. Like these games are like, they're still like out of any games ever made, the best games ever. So like you got to check those out. If you learn them, then you can go, there's a bonus part of this where you can go to, you know, your local arcade or bar or whatever, and be awesome at them and understand them and get to know them there. And I use them as like, you know, a training platform to learn the intricate rules, because people might not get this, but pinball is basically every pinball machine is as deep as, you know, Elden Ring and its rules. They're insanely deep and crazy, and they're it's impenetrably complicated. And you don't realize that because a lot of, you know, your first goal in pinball as a player is keeping the ball going. Your second goal should be, as you develop the ability to play pinball, is to get a multi-ball going, because that's just fun and it scores really well. And then your third is learning the rule sets and all the aspects of pinball. And I think playing these virtual pinball games are a very good way to do that. There's also some like MAME type platforms, like Pin MAME type stuff, where you can play all these two, and people do a really good job of digitizing the games visually. But again, nobody's getting the physics right at all. Everything feels floaty. Everything's going to feel different. And that's also like, no pinball machine feels like another pinball machine. Like a Stern machine does not feel like a Williams machine, and a Williams machine, depending on how like crummy the operator is, that the operator is the term that you use for the person that owns or fixes the machines in public, they might feel different from one to another. Maybe the flippers feel bad or whatever. Anyway, rant over.
A couple of things. I really enjoyed Metroid Prime Pinball on the DS back in the day. That developer, Fuse Games, made their own pinball game. They made a game called Pinball Pulse, The Ancients Beckon. And The only reason I know that, I didn't just recall that from mind, but it's a DSiWare title. And so the eShop is shutting down. Like, you are running out of time to buy. Like, it came up because I saw it on a list of, like, you know, DSiWare, DS eShop games that, you know, unfortunately access to them is going to be shut off. And so... Yeah. It's a really good pedigree. Fuse Games is the company, and they made this kind of little known. It's just a single table. Like, it's not some really crazy, digital pinball platform or anything. But the company that made Metroid Prime Pinball, which is really well liked, made a lesser known digital pinball game that I think is worth a look. You know, and then there's the classics. Like, there's Mario Pinball on, what was it, the Game Boy Color, maybe?
Is that one a motion tilting one?
Maybe. And then there was Kirby. What's the Kirby pinball game called on the OG Game Boy, black and white one? Kirby Pinball. I had a lot of fond memories with that too. I agree with Sam that if you're going to make a digital pinball game, lean into its digital nature and make it more video game like and get crazy and weird with
Demon's
it.
Demon's Tilt.
Yeah, that's Demon's Tilt. Like, do things that, like, you couldn't. Don't just try to make a physical pinball table, but on a screen. Like, get really weird and video gamey with it. And that's what Demon's Tilt does so well.
Do you remember when the game called Inks kind of was being played in the office a lot? It's an iPhone game, and it was another one I was going to recommend. It's a very artsy pinball game where you're kind of learning pinball skills, and you're just using the touch screen to flip. But it draws, like, ink lines when the ball goes. It's beautiful. Like, it just makes, like, really cool art from your pinball stuff. But it also, like, involves a lot of the skills that, like, that you kind of are required to learn in real pinball. Here it is.
Yeah, I played Inks. It was good.
Yeah, it's fun.
But I'm still confused where to play pinball video pinball today.
It's pinball FX. Yeah, FX3, I think, is the platform name now, and it's a Zen property.
There's a site right now that says it's available now in the Epic Game Store, but coming to consoles in 2022.
Well,
it's not even out yet.
The platform has been all over the place. Like, it's been on Steam and on last gen con. I mean, you know, it's like some 10-year-old platform that they keep updating and sort of redoing. There was a big controversy that Sam alluded to where all those old classic tables were in Pinball Arcade, and then Pinball Arcade lost the rights to all of them, and they all went to Zen Pinball instead.
But like, so now I'm looking. Arcade had like dozens and dozens more. So it's like Zen isn't being like, you know, the exact same stewards as Pinball Arcade was.
Yeah, it is a bummer. And I think the Pinball Arcade physics engine is a lot better too.
It was at a good angles to view it too. What's up, Damien?
But I'm looking at Pinball Arcade on Steam right now. That's available to download. And then they have packs for, there's a Stern pack, there's a Gottlieb pack.
Yeah, they lost the Williams.
Yeah, they lost a lot of the, you know, I don't know, like 40 or 50 of the classic tables. They lost the rights to sell them. I bought them all before I spent a ludicrous sum of money to buy every single one before they were delisted.
Yeah, I did too. The Stern stuff is pretty good in that, and the classic Gottlieb stuff, I mean, it's fine. There's no famous Gottlieb games that you have to play.
The situation on how to play video pinball today is confusing.
It's Zen Pinball. That's the only way to play the old classic tables in digital form.
But that's not even out yet. It says coming to PS5, PS4, 2022.
Yeah, I mean, I've only played on PC, so.
Yeah, it's been on every, like, it's on Switch. And it's been like that Zen Pinball and Pinball FX have been around for, I don't know, 15 years.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, I know, and that's why it's confusing to me.
I think that's a misnomer, Damon. I think you can play those on console. I'll look into it.
You think they just haven't updated the website?
Yes.
Maybe that's true.
Yes.
But what's not confusing is Demon's Tilt is amazing, and I would recommend, Bruce, if you like that game, if you have a way to play the TurboGrafx-16 games that it is inspired by, which is Alien Crush and Devil's Crush.
Yeah, those are great.
Very, very cool. Very in the same vein as Demon's Tilt. Okay, this is Matthew in Baltimore. He says, I am emailing in hopes to learn something. Almost 10 years ago, I acquired a PlayChoice 10 tabletop arcade machine.
Doing it all, are we?
Yeah.
Cool. I have so much show and tell for this one.
I don't know if I've seen a tabletop PlayChoice 10. Oh, anyway, a local bar was looking to unload the machine because it was not in working condition. I picked it up for a measly $50 and started to research common issues. I discovered that the buttons and joystick needed a deep clean. After getting the machine in working order, I enabled the play for free feature. Life happened and I had to keep the machine in storage for a few years. I recently got it back out and have re-fallen in love. Are you or any of the fine guests of the show able to provide some information about this arcade cabinet? I'm finding it hard to locate information, like how popular they were, where they are now, what games are available, and how easy it is to switch and add games. I just want to know more about this thing that brings me so much joy. Emailing you game experts seems like a logical next step in gaining as much knowledge as possible. Thank you all, and I appreciate everything you do.
Cool. I wish you would have sent his game list. So PlayChoice came in a couple different configurations, and it was both a test market machine for the NES and then also an arcade platform by which, you know, you could make additional money off of NES games. There's slight differences to the NES games. They all have a instruction menu that an NES game wouldn't have. Some have other differences, like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out has a battery save in it, which saves your initials over time, for example. So the platform itself, though, came in several iterations. One of them is this tabletop one he's talking about. That's by far the rarest, I would say. Now, that's not a cocktail table. It actually sits on top of a bar. It's like a bar top, single screen with two little janky little joysticks. They're like little sticks, and it's an equivalent place. I guess the imprint in a bar would be similar to like a touch screen machine from the early 2000s. Remember those? So it's just like, you know, it's like a monitor controllers. But that came in other configurations that you probably have seen. One of them, I have two types of them. One I have in the arcade here at Free Gold Watch. It's a dual monitor one. It actually has two CRT monitors, one on top of each other. One has the instructions and menu at the top, and then one has the gameplay on the bottom. And then there's a single monitor version as well. There's also a whole other system called Nintendo Versus, which I won't get into, which came in the red tent format and the upright cabinet format. But the PlayChoice system has 10 games in it. usually called Play Choice 10, the dual monitor, single monitor, and here's what they look like. You would get a carton. This is a sealed Play Choice game. A pin box.
That's one game?
Yeah, this is one game. And it came sealed in these little cardboard boxes. And inside them, once you open them up, they have a sign, a marquee. It says new game and what the game is. And they're
1942.
Yeah. And so, you put this on top of your machine. I have like, you know, at my home one, I have a single monitor and I have 10 of them on top there. At the arcade, we don't put them up because the signs go for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. They're very expensive. Like a Yo-Noid sign might set you back $300. That's right. I said Yo-Noid. Here's what the games look like. So they have a different sort of edge connector than an NES or a Famicom game. And they're just little ROMs on a circuit board. And they come in different configurations. You can see this one's Hogan's Alley. Well, maybe you can't see it. It's hard to see. But this had a light gun because Duck Hunt, Hogan's Alley, games like that, you could actually hook up a light gun. It's a different, it's not a zapper. It's like a funny, like built to be messed with gun on a chain that hooks up the machine. Again, have that one at the arcade here. And it's like they're orange. They're funny looking. They're like more like revolvers. So, and then this is what he's asking about. This is all out. I didn't get this out for the show because I just swapped games at the arcade this past weekend. I added some new games into it. And sorry, it's in a little static bag here. So this is the Play Choice. And you can see here,
cool.
These are the games. So there's a bunch of empty slots here because I have to put them back in. And there's some long ones and some short ones. And yeah, you have to take this all out of the game. There's like two edge connectors and a few other things to kind of get out of your way. And then you take this whole thing out carefully. Don't set it on a blanket or anything that has a static surface. And then you can replace your games. And you can buy these games on, I'd recommend, there's a great online forum. A Facebook forum, a Facebook group called like Play Choice Owners Buy and Trade or something. People have pretty fair prices on there. They're all over eBay. I bought them all the games I wanted before they went totally astronomically expensive. But I also have bought these cabinets, more than the ones I own now, to get the games out of them. And then I just flip the cabinets because the games are so valuable. There's some games that are, you know, hundreds of dollars, but there's many games that are $25 or $50, you know, Super Mario Brothers is going to be $50 or $75 or something like that. So, you know, you can buy those games and deck out your machine. So what I'd like to hear from this owner is what games came with his machine. It's super interesting. You can swap those out by buying ones. And then there's a homebrew scene now, which has really cool stuff where you can buy an all-in-one cart, not an all-in-one cartridge, but a cartridge that has multiple games in it. Those are fine, but they also will put, there's people that will put a, you know, give you a new ROM set for like a certain card. Like I can take 1942 and make it into DuckTales, for example, which is a much better game than 1942 on the NES. Any questions?
How many games were released for Play Choice?
Oh, I'd say 60 or 70.
Interesting.
And so, I played one of these back in the day. So Super Mario Brothers 3 was tested in these cabinets. And I remember seeing it and being like, holy shit, there's a Super Mario Brothers 3, and it was, you know, new game and you could play it. And, you know, that one was just like in my, you know, Aladdin's Castle in the Capitol Mall in Iowa City.
Games used to just appear from Japan.
Yes, they did.
Well, Matthew in Baltimore, if you could send a follow-up email, let us know what games are in your Play Choice 10. Sam would very much like to know.
Indeed.
And that brings us to video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Paul. He's from a place in the UK. Let's see if I can pronounce it. Dagenham? Probably Dagenham. That's my guess. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your hometown.
Let
the questioning begin.
By the way, as we were talking, I was looking up Pinball FX3 on Steam, Damon, just to, you know, you're talking about the platform and it being confusing. At some point, I have no memory of this. It must have been during a Steam sale, but I own hundreds of dollars in Pinball FX3 DLC. Like, it gives you a list of like what packs you own and what packs you don't have. Like the Marvel pack, I own it. All the Star Wars packs. So that's good. I think I'll reinstall that. Thanks, past cool. me.
Cool.
Bethesda pinball apparently was a thing. I don't know, Damon, I don't have any answers for you. It says that there's a Fallout and Doom and Elder Scrolls pinball table.
The Portal ones are cool.
Yeah, I have the Portal one too. I'm pumped. I'm gonna go install all these. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail 20 questions, but I wanted to share.
No, now I kind of want to play Bethesda Pinball.
Yeah,
they're really muddy and crappy looking from that era. Unfortunately, they don't pull up very well.
All right, let the questioning begin.
But did this game come out in the 90s?
No.
Is this game on the PlayStation Plus revealed list?
I'm glad you asked that. And no.
Oh.
Nice.
Rude.
Is it from after the 90s?
Yes.
Is it, can you play it on the Switch?
No.
Is it a platform exclusive?
No. And that's 5.
Is it an indie game?
No.
This is hard.
We haven't used this question in a while, which is, could this have been in a theoretical E3 press conference?
Well,
like, I mean, I guess it's really confusing in modern days.
yes, this could have
judging
appeared
judging by 2019 standards, I suppose.
I'm going to say yes to that question.
Okay. So from a, could have been hyped by a major publisher.
You remember when Ringo came out and showed off a rock band, the Beatles, yeah. Ringo and Paul McCartney.
I don't. And they were just that. Like, did he get them to do that? That's
yes,
crazy.
Yeah, and he said something really awkward, I've always wanted to see myself as an android.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly the quote. It was incredible. And they didn't play the game. They just stood there and talked for a minute, and then they're like, "Okay, goodbye, Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney."
Wow. All right.
So many crazy things. In 2008, Ubisoft had James Cameron on just to talk about Avatar for like 30 minutes. He didn't bring a trailer or anything.
No.
He was just telling people he's just describing what the Na'vi look like. There's these 10-foot tall blue people.
Well, that's great. They can just reuse that clip for the future when they go into detail about that game.
Holy crap. let's see.
Was this game developed in the United States?
No.
Mm-hmm. It must be Canadian.
Yeah, I know.
With that hesitation.
is this a, let me think. Is this an RPG, a sports game, or an action game?
One of those.
Yes.
Was it developed by BioWare? Shot in the dark?
Was it developed by BioWare? No. That's 10.
I was hoping for a lucky streak.
Yeah, I know. Well, so it probably isn't an RPG then, right?
That's what I was kind of going with, like Canada RPG potential. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could still be an RPG, though.
Yeah, it could be like Deus Ex. It could be like Eidos Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, is this an RPG?
No.
Darn it. Is it an action game?
Yes.
Okay.
There we go. Is there multiplayer in this game?
No.
Do you play as a human?
Yes.
Single player only. I don't know, it could be like a Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm. Especially this multi-platform could be an E3 stuff, right?
Did one of those Tomb Raiders have a weird multiplayer mode in it? I knew, obviously, the Uncharted games did. They weren't that weird, they were fun. But like, you know, people don't think about them now.
Is this part of a series?
Yes, and that's 15.
Damn. Jeez.
All right, well, we're boned.
Do you play as a woman?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's feeling good now.
What a title shift.
Yeah, so it's probably like, yeah, I mean, so let's see. If it's after 2000, I don't think any of the Tomb Raiders appeared on the Switch, but after 2000, so it can't be like the earliest, like there's three eras of Tomb Raider, right? There's the OG era that can't be that. Then there was the first reboots that were like, what? I don't even know. Like what? Tomb Raider Legend and then with Underworld. Is that right? And then the three, the modern trilogy. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those two. It's from either the second era or third era of Tomb Raider. I don't know how to like narrow it down.
Well, I mean, knowing it's a Tomb Raider game would be helpful.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's a good point. I did.
We're just assuming, yeah.
But it totally is.
But we're like at the end of this, so at the end of our line of questioning.
would this game be considered a reboot?
Uh-oh.
No, not well. okay. No. This game would not be considered a reboot.
So it's the second Tomb Raider.
Yeah, so it's Shadow of the Tomb Raider or what's the third one called? Rise
of the Tomb Raider, yeah.
But Shadow started as an Xbox exclusive, right? And then obviously eventually.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, it's one of those two, assuming it's Tomb Raider.
How many more questions do we have left?
Yeah, do we need to ask if it's a Tomb Raider game before we
work this? Two questions and a guess.
Or we could do, have we said the name of this game yet?
Yeah, let's do that. Go for it.
Have we said the name of this game yet, Damon?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know how, so it's either Shadow of the Tomb Raider or Rise of the Tomb Raider.
So do those all come out on the Xbox One?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this the second in a reboot series is a way we could ask that?
Yeah, that's pretty lame, but that's, I mean, I can't think of anything better.
Okay. Yeah, do it.
Is this the second in a reboot series?
No.
Okay. Well, what's the third one called?
Rise of the Tomb Raider? that's what it's called, right? It's called Rise of the Tomb Raider. Yeah. Now I feel
I think it's Shadow is the third one.
No. Maybe. That does make sense. Are we allowed to look it up? Or is that cheating?
No.
We know what game it is.
I think it's...
Can we call a friend, Google?
No, I think Rise is the third one, isn't it?
Okay. We know what game it is.
It's the third one, though. It's the third one. Tomb Raider 3. If we don't have the name right, I'm going to send this to the commission.
We could take Tomb Raider 3.
Tina, right. Which one is it?
Yeah, I think it's Shadow. He thinks it's Rise. Tina, you just be the tiebreaker and we'll win or lose. It's not your fault either way.
Oh, man. I want to say Rise, but I genuinely do not trust my memory.
I think it's Rise because that's the whole, like, the game. Like, she ends the game being, like, the Tomb Raider that you all know and, like,
and
you know.
I feel like I remember that being more recent, so right. It should be the third one.
Okay.
Is it Rise of the Tomb Raider?
No.
No.
Oh
my God. No. Shadow rewind. Rewind.
Wait. Did I do it backwards?
Yes. You got them switched up. You're going to have a lot of people yelling at their earbuds and screens this episode.
I didn't yell.
We use the rewind ability. Yeah. All right. Do it again, Justin. Do it again.
It goes, is it Shadow Tomb Raider, of the Tomb Raider?
Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Sam was right.
Yeah. We get it confused because of Rise of Skywalker. It threw it all off.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam was never confused. He had it right the whole time. I thought for sure Rise was the third one.
No, that was the second one.
I still put this in the win column. We knew it was the third game in the reboot series.
We'll see what the wiki does.
Yeah, we'll see what happens to the wiki.
It's a wiki. I'll just edit it.
Nice.
Although I do agree with Justin that it's Rise sounds like it should have been the last
right?
one.
Right?
I agree with Tina that like it sounds like that was the more recent. Like,
yeah, I just feel like I played it more recently than the others, but the, I mean,
the end of Shadow is totally bonkers too.
Yeah, but that's the counter argument is that Shadow is the really dark plotted of the three new games, and so it makes sense that maybe that's Shadow because she takes that weird shadowy turn.
Even that's
in that game.
Thrown off by Star Wars, though, right? Because Empire is the dark one.
Yeah.
Well, there's Shadow of the Empire, right? Isn't that a game?
Yes.
Yes,
it's the Nintendo 64 launch window Star Wars game.
This is why we need to just stick to Tomb Raider 1, Tomb Raider 2, Tomb Raider 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reboot Tomb Raider 1, reboot Tomb Raider 3.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like the reboot clue, though. That got us back on track.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a spectacular fail at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's pretty good.
Colin, this one's not a reboot.
I would play these games again. Are they like, I don't like video games have gotten like, there's so much video game history and so many ports and remakes and redos and like, you know, upscale, like is it easy to play like the rebooted Tomb Raider 2 and 3 in 2022? Like, is it on Game Pass? Nobody knows.
No, I don't think they're on Game Pass. You know, they were all, even the first one was remastered for PS4. So they're all on PS4.
Remember
they all look good.
The late part of the first one, you're like in rivers of blood by the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Incredible.
I think the first one's still the best. I think it's kind of like the Batman Arkham situation where it's a little bit more contained on that island and seems to work better. She's not globetrotting all over the world, right? Mm.
But you don't agree really with that with Arkham though, right?
No, that's why I like Arkham Asylum.
Okay. I thought you were on the city, Team City.
Oh no. I'm Team Asylum.
Okay.
I'm Team City for sure. Mm-hmm. Two is still really good. I don't think I finished three.
Oh, wait, of Arkham or Tomb Raider?
Tomb Raider, sorry.
Yeah.
The first two are great. The third one gets a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, I agree. And like Sam was saying, story-wise, goes completely off the rails.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, thank you for the suggestion. Who is this from, once again? This was from Paul in Dagenham in the UK. Maybe. Remember, viewers and listeners, if you have your own 20 questions, suggestions for us, email them to me at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. That is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Justin. Thank you to Tayo, working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Evil, super powerful robot. Evil, super powerful robot. Evil. Super powerful robot, evil, super powerful, evil, super powerful robot, evil, super powerful robot, evil, super powerful robot, evil, super powerful.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the time pilot?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.